This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, a few days back, many people around the world celebrating what is known in the Muslim world as al-Mawlid, or the Mawlid al-Sharif, or the celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that usually take place on the 12th of the month of Rabi' al-Awwal. And people celebrate that Mawlid in a very different ways. Some of them gather in a masjid or in a house and they read a book of seerah, they read poetry by usually al-Burda by al-Busayri or others. They talk, they read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of them make food, distribute food to people. They food and they eat, and usually they like to distribute halwa, yani something sweet to people. And basically to those who attend this gathering, or they give it to the around neighbors. To the extent I even seen people have cake, and it have 63 candle, and they said, happy birthday, Ya Rasulullah. I don't know why this, some of them one, some of them no candle at all. And they cut the cake, and they make a green cake, and they, basically cut it, and they eat it. I've seen videos on YouTube, and I'm sure you guys have seen some of that as well, maybe. Some of them, they do it as simple as this. And some of them even go farther, where they engage in certain type of dhikr, and they claim that the Prophet ﷺ himself comes and attend the mawlid. And that when they do this dhikr and engage in dhikr and, dancing while they chanting, they said that the Prophet can be present and come and join them. Some of them, they will have the mawlid in a way which is a celebration. It's like a party, where men and women are mixing, people dancing, there are people doing all kinds. It became a business opportunity for boosting the economy of the village or city. People have around the Muslim world, there is a very different ways. Maybe some of us who were born, raised, lived here haven't seen what happened outside. But this is a very, in some countries, a very big, huge event. It can be even sometimes even more economical, driven than anything else for so many people. Also, some of these gathering in it will happen that people will call upon the Prophet ﷺ for help and seek the help and the aid. يستغيثون بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يطرون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. They will say things about the Prophet ﷺ which is not allowed to be said about a human being, no matter who that person is. Like they will poetry, like Some of the lines of the Burda are out of line. You know, like when they said, for example, that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone who I'll turn to in the time of calamity and time of hardship, there is no one to turn to except anta ya Rasulullah. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani even the kuffar of Quraysh knows when calamity strike, you turn to Allah alone. إذا أصابتهم مصيبة يعني الكفار يعلمون إذا نزلت المصيبة تلجأ إلى الله وحده. هؤلاء لا يقولون عند حدوث الحادث اللممي من لي سواك يا رسول الله أعوذ بالله. Or they said يعني ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم, that from your knowledge is the knowledge of the safe tablet and the unseen. This is part of your knowledge. No doubt that this is another level of celebrating and things that happen in the Mawlid, that it is basically take it to another level. So why I'm saying this? Because it's so important to understand the different type of celebrations, different kind of, you know, celebration that taking place from one group to another. And we should not treat them all with one like rule. These are very different, very various levels, and it should be addressed each one according to that level. Also, I would say that some people say, based on this, طيب, they would say, so we should not generalize, criticize to the Mawlid, because we're not talking about the people who do all this crazy stuff and praying to other than the Prophet, those who claim that the Prophet ﷺ witnessed the Mawlid with them. We're not this kind of people. We don't talk about this kind of people. We talk about the simple Mawlid. We read the seerah, we read some poetries, and that's about it. I'd say, yes, absolutely, it is no doubt that it is not fair to treat all the previous groups in the same way, that because they are on the various levels. But what I'm always wondering, I don't hear voices of those who celebrate Mawlid according to them without all these extreme practices. We don't see a very strong stance, you know, for them against this kind of practices. We don't hear that. We hear that strong stance and attacking on the people who say don't celebrate Mawlid, period. But they don't really stand against these kind of practices that include shirk, include bid'ah, major bid'ah. We don't hear their voices. Number two, all of them, regardless what the group you talk about, most of those people who especially engage in these kind of practices, most of them, the majority of them, are involved in certain type of praising that it is beyond what is allowed. It is itra, it's ghulu fi madhi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is open the door for people to start their heart connect and turn to the human instead of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And eventually they fall into one form of the shirk by praying to the human beings, thinking that they are their connection to Allah, or Allah needs someone between him and us when we pray to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a major thing, contradict what Islam is all about. Yet, my brothers and sisters, it is absolutely true, and it's not acceptable for some of the speakers, some of the people who against the Mawlid, is to make them all in the same level. Yes, we should differentiate. Somebody, for example, celebrate the Mawlid by just, you know what, I give food, or I tell my children about the Mawlid, and we read some of the seerah, attending a gathering of seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or something of that nature. You know, that way, way, way much. This is one of the umur al-ijtihadiyya, one of the umur that it is an opinion for some of the scholars, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. But this will not be similar to the people who I mentioned earlier. So that's a conversation we have to have as in the beginning. Also, people say, Sheikh, do you celebrate you? I heard you, Sheikh Waleed, said it's okay to have a birthday celebrate, yani your son's birthday, or your wife's birthday, or your, why you allowed birthday or recognizing your birthday for your son and not for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why you have your own birthday recognized and the best human being not recognized? And they make it sound like as if they have a point, which is they don't. Why? Because when you, لما يكون في احتفال بعيد ميلاد ولدك ولا بنتك ولا شخصك, هذا ليس من العبادات. هذا من العادات. أنت ما تفعل عبادة وقربها لله. When you do your own birthday or your children's birthday or your wife's birthday, for those who do it, they don't do it as an act of worship. They don't feel that they're doing something that's righteous, make me closer to Allah. But when you celebrate the Maulid of the Prophet ﷺ, it's not just like celebrating your son. No, this is a religious duty you feel. This is a religious act. So there's a huge difference between how you look at this and how you look at that. So that's why there is a big difference between them. There is many things. It is allowed if you do it as a culture thing. But if you believe that this is a part of the religion, that's become haram and not allowed for you to do. And you can imagine if I tell you, you know, it is wajib on you or it is recommended for you to have a venti black Americano every day in the morning. If I promote that, what I will be? Majus, not only majnun, but mubtadi' fi al-deen. Adding since the religion is not part of it. But what if I say, you know what, it's a good thing to have doctor, I don't know which doctor will say that, but he said, it's a good for you to have a venti black Americano in the morning. That's not the religious things. That's a worldly thing. It has to do with your health. It has nothing to do with the religion. So that's fine. And that's a conversation we should have. We should differentiate. So we don't allow someone just by, you know, big words kind of deceive you until you're confused. No. There is a big difference between the things that is part of culture, part of, you know, worldly matters versus religious matters. Versus religious matter. Nobody ever celebrated the Prophet ﷺ because of culture matter or non-religious matter. It's not because he's your cousin, you're celebrating his birthday. It's because he's your prophet, he's his messenger. It's because it's a ni'mah. It's a way of being, you expect Allah to reward you for it. That's why you're doing it. Okay? طيب. Another conversation that I think it's important to have, when the Prophet ﷺ was born. Like, a lot of people really take it for granted that he was born on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. First of all, the year where he was born. There is almost agreement, and I do believe that this is the correct opinion, that he was born in the year it's called Am al-Fil, the year where the elephant. Why? Because the Mecca was attacked that year by an army came from Abyssinia. They bringing with them an elephant that they shipped from, you know, Africa to Yemen. Then they came to destroy Al-Kaaba. In that incident, in that year, okay, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Khayyat, they said that there is a consensus even on this, or there's an agreement on it. As for the day, every scholars, or not every, vast majority of the scholars, okay, almost there is a consensus, or almost there is an agreement, that it was on Monday. And that's correct. Why? Because in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi Sahih Muslim qal, what about fasting Monday? He said, that's a day I was born, a day I was sent as a messenger, and at the day where I received the first revelations. I received the revelation from Allah on Monday. Okay, so that's basically became a statement of the Prophet that he was born on a day which is Monday in the week. That's why Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, "Bal akhta," it was wrong. Those who claim that the Prophet was born on Friday, "Man dhanna anna an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam qad wulida yawm al-jumu'ah," because of this hadith. As for the month, I'm not which date, which day of the month itself. It is something not agreed upon at all between the scholars. You have some ulama said he was born in Rabi' al-Awwal. Some ulama said he was born in Safar. Some people said that he was born in Ramadan. So it's not an agreed upon between the scholars. Okay? Which day? Let's assume Rabi' al-Awwal. Which day in Rabi' al-Awwal? You will say that Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah ta'ala said, in the second of Rabi' al-Awwal. Ibn Abdul Barr, this is one of the greatest scholars of Maliki scholars. And also, Al-Waqidi reported from Abi Ma'shar, Nujayh ibn Abdul Rahman al-Madani, from the scholars of Medina. He said in the second of Rabi' al-Awwal. Then it was the 8th of Rabi' al-Awwal. The 8th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And this is Ibn Hazm's opinion. And Malik, wa Uqayl, wa Yunus ibn Yazid, all of them reported that Az-Zuhri said that Muhammad ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im, which is the son of one of the companions, Jubair ibn Mut'im, he said that the Nabi was born on the 8th. And to be honest with you, many scholars have taken that opinion, and it is one of the strongest opinion that it was the 8th of Rabi' al-Awwal, not 12. طيب, 10th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Also, this is, was mentioned from Al-Sha'bi rahimahullah and Abi Ja'far al-Baqir from Ali Bayt al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and others. Also, it was said, 12 of Rabi' al-Awwal. And that became famous because Ibn Ishaq, the great scholars in Sirah, have mentioned that opinion. And also, other people have mentioned that as well, that this is something stated by Jabir wa ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum jami'an. So it became a very popular opinion. That they said he was born in the 12, and in the 12 of Rabi' al-Awwal he was sent as a messenger, and also in the 12 of Rabi' al-Awwal he did al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj. And the 12 of Rabi' al-Awwal he migrated. That's what they claim. Okay, so that's basically the statement. And he died in the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. That's the statement that it was made, and it became kind of popular, the first part of it. Also, it was said the 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal, by the way, it's an interesting date. What date? 9th. The 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal is not something was stated by the earlier scholar. So how did you come up with this date? Actually, a lot of modern scholars in mathematics and scientists today, they said, you know what, scientifically we can trace back in the year where the Prophet ﷺ born to find out what is the exact date. We can figure that out, at least something that it is, you know, they tried. So they start doing their calculation, which is an astrologist, his name Mahmoud Basha al-Falaki. He died in 1885. He's very well-known scholars in Egypt and mathematics and astrology and geography, and he wrote books. And one of the things that he did, he looked at, you know, scientifically, when he was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he found that 12 Rabi' al-Awwal will never be Monday. He found that 12 Rabi' al-Awwal cannot be Monday. And he found out none of these dates actually will be Monday. And he came to the conclusion that actually the Prophet ﷺ was born in the 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal, which is basically April 22nd. And this is will be 571 the year. So he came up with this. Mubarak Furi rahimahullah, which is a famous scholar who wrote the Nectar Seal and wrote a lot of seerah, he said he also leaned towards that. And many have said the same thing, because by looking, if you're going to choose a day for Rabi' al-Awwal, that will be the best, you know, option that you have really in that year. As I said, some people are Ramadan. But why I'm bringing this? I'm bringing this because that shows you that what we're doing today is giving for granted as if he was born in 12 Rabi' al-Awwal, which is not. So why I think this is an important conversation? Because some people tell me, Sheikh, Jazakallah khair, what's so big deal about this? يعني 12 ربيع الأول, 10th ربيع الأول, 9 ربيع الأول, why it is so big deal? And I want you to ask yourself, why you think it's a big deal? It is for me a big deal. You know why? Because it's a big deal for you to be consistent. It's a big deal for me that you feel that this religion makes sense. When your kids tell you, oh, this is the celebration of the birth of Sa'sam birthday. Yes, in 12 Rabi' al-Awwal. Then you said, so he was born 12 Rabi' al-Awwal? No, he was born in the 9th. What? No, he was born actually in Ramadan. Maybe in Ramadan. He was born. So where do you come with that date from? Oh, some said, why this one not over? And you became a confused, especially if you know. It is important for religion in general to be consistent, to make sense to yourself before anyone else. You know, there is people for them religion is not a big deal. That's why they're not critical. They're not critical thinking. And when they became critical thinking, they end up atheist, well, liberal, extreme liberal, that they don't care about the religion completely. You know what led people to go far away from the religion and reject the religion? Because we introduce things into the religion which is not part of it, which has no make no sense. And that's exactly what happened with Christianity over time. In Christianity, a lot of ideas was introduced, a lot of change happened to the book, to the message. People later on became a little more critical, smart, asking questions. That make no sense to me. Where does this came from? So what happened? They lost trust in the religion as a whole. And that's something we can't allow to happen to our religion. And that's why it is, for me, an important thing to be a critical thinker when it comes to things like that. Especially, we're talking about something was invented 500 years after the time of the Prophet. Not something like part of the religion, let's try to figure out an answer for it. Something never exists. There's nothing in this. Why you think nobody have documented the exact date of the Prophet's birthday? Because nobody cared for that date. That's why, for me, it is an important conversation. That's an important conversation because is the point the day he was born for us as Muslims? Or more important than that, the day he was sent as a messenger. Yani some people when they speak about said, the ni'mah of Allah is the day he was born. No doubt, the day was no, but he's a ni'mah. But the exact ni'mah of the Prophet ﷺ happened when he was sent as a messenger. Not when he was born. Being born, wiladatun Nabi ﷺ, hadha amr qadari. والقدر لا يتعلق به مدح ولا ذم. It's a worldly matter, when he was born. And worldly matter, there is nothing in it has to do with what Allah loves or not. Rabi' al-Awwal, 12, 13, 16, 20, it makes no difference. The sun rise at 6 o'clock or 4 o'clock, it doesn't make a difference. What make a difference, did you pray Fajr today or not? That would make a difference. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the minnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not say the day he was born. No, no. He mentioned the day he was sent to us. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. When Allah sent to you the messenger. Before he was a messenger, Allah said, وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to this message, that's where the minnah and the ni'mah came to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, it is obviously he's born is an important thing for us. It's because that's what eventually have made him a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No doubt, that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it was giving the bishara of Mawlid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when يعني, the hadith comes when it comes to Abu Lahab that it will be, that's out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that's not to do with the exact date. So nobody misunderstand what I'm saying here. We, definitely the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest things, and we're so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent him, made, created him, made him born and sent him to us. But the actual thing is about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being what? Sent to us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he said, "That's a day I was born in, and I was sent. I received the revelation." Why don't we see a celebration every year with Bi'that al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The hadith is saying, "In Monday, I was sent as a messenger to receive revelations, and I was born." Some people said, "Oh, that's a proof. Let's celebrate." And those people who use this hadith is the most contradicting people because they don't celebrate every Monday. They celebrate the 12th. Nabi said, did not say 12 Rabi'ul Awwal, he said Monday. And then Nabi said, I celebrate Monday by fasting. Not by doing what the other people doing by reading books of seerah. Can you imagine today if we say every Monday, every 12 Rabi'ul Awwal, okay, we're going to do, every Monday we're going to do 10 rak'ahs. All of us collectively to celebrate the Monday. Everybody will say that's bid'ah and not allowed. Why? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said fasting. You can't come and change what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. And the same thing, you can't come and change, said, I'm going to change it from fasting to reading seerah, from fasting to making dhikr or whatever. You can't do that. You stick to what the Prophet ﷺ said. And unfortunately, those people, we never heard of them fasting every Monday because of that. And then Nabi ﷺ explained why. So the whole point about Monday is being the process is praised. It is praised because the Nabi ﷺ also told us why he fasted Monday. Yani, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah chose for him to be born in a day which is special. So that day is a special even before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. And what made it extra special for us, that you remember in it every Monday that the Prophet was born in that day. And that increased you, maybe your love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fi hadith al-Tirmidhi said, this is a day where the deeds are represented before Allah, and I like to fast while my deeds are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yarzuqna wiyakum al-fiqh fi al-deen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Alhamdulillah wahdahu salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Let me end with this. It's an important conversation to have when we talk about Mawlid, is to make sure that our religion will not turn to be just celebrating occasions and an occasionally things happen. That's so important for us to be attention and to be careful about. Nations before us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا. أصبح دينهم مناسبات وعادات. Their deen is celebrating of certain days in the year, and that's it. That's the religious. The religion is celebrations. It's basically certain things you do it occasionally, and that's it. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah, every year we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I give some halwa, I made rice pudding and I give it away. You know, I did some, I read some dhikr, I attended a nasheed that I don't know what he's saying, but I was shaking my head a little bit. I feel, you know what, I fulfill my right toward the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, must be exist every day in your life, not only in the 12th Rabi'ul Awwal. The remembrance of the Prophet ﷺ and the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ should be alive every day in our life. Somebody said, Sheikh, please don't be too harsh. It's an opportunity to remind people. Yeah, tell me what this opportunity I've done. Tell me really how many people, because of Mother Day, they became nice to their mothers. That Mother Day was the day for them to really take care of their mothers. You know what? If a good person to his mother, he will be a good every day, and the Mother Day, he will be extra good. But tell me how, when the Mother Day, that's celebrating Mother Day, one year in the year, have turned someone to be really good to his mother, or good to his father, or a good husband in his anniversary. It became just, you know what, a check mark. You know what? It's just a little bit of drugs that you give for you to block the pain. Like when I go to the doctor to block my pain, give me a little bit, you know, charge me like several hundred dollars, then give me a little bit of shot. So you know what, for a month or two, I'm good. Then after that, come back to him with more pain. It blocked the pain. That's what it is. Most of this celebration is meant and is to make you feel good that you did something. But you know what this religion is about? It's about long-term commitment. It's about to live your life from the beginning to the end for Allah, not just some occasion days. And we say the same message in Ramadan. We never allowed Ramadan to turn to be just an occasion things. It's an opportunity for real training for you. But this religion can't turn to be just, you know what, an occasion and events in the year. No. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ. My life until death belong to Allah. That's what it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rizqna wa iyyakum al-fiqh fi al-deen. There's a lot to be talked about, but I hope this kind of conversation, we start taking it in a higher level than just talk about as a bid'ah or a bid'ah or a practice. I'm even having a more deeper discussion we should have about this issue. to ask yourself, what is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in our life? In celebrations, his day? What is it in our manners? What is it in our dealing with our wife, with our kids, with our family, with our neighbors? Where is the Prophet ﷺ in your home, in your room, in your car? Where is the Prophet ﷺ in your daily life? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني, always give us this deep understanding and love for this religion and for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Let me tell you, my brother and sister, الحب الحقيقي والتعظيم الحقيقي للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم باتباع سنته. The real love, the real honor for the Prophet sallam is not by shaking your heads and your waist, you know, and making reciting nasheed and making halwa and stuff like that. That's if you want to give food, you give food, jazakallah khair, no problem with that. But the real love, the real honor, the real following of the Prophet ﷺ, when you pray like him, when you fast like him, when you act like him, when you believe like him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you love Allah and fear Allah and respect Allah the way he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma inna narzuqna al-huda واهدنا لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم اللهم أصلح أحوالنا واغفر ذنوبنا وصل اللهم على نبينا محمد وقوموا للصلاة يرحمني ويرحمكم الله.